I want you to fire me.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Elite POV. My name is Kyle Masters. I'm your host today, yes. And this is a special podcast because literally there's only two of us on the show tonight. Let's get naked. And that's right. We're not going to get naked.
No, but, no. Guys, welcome to an edition of the K-Squared Observer.
Yeah, basically it's K2 instead of Elite POV, I guess. But welcome in, everybody. It's going to be an interesting episode. Jackie is under the weather, and Phil, very last minute, is busy doing some personal things. So it's just me and Kimmy tonight. That's it. That's all. Talk about AEW. I'm back in the host chair. It's been a while since I've actually hosted a podcast. I mean, I host some other shows on the show or on the Elite POV brand, but a very K2 Observer-esque episode of Elite POV with myself and Kimmy So-Cool, or So-Cool as she is actually called. But Kimmy, how's it going? How are you?
I'm good. It's real. I don't know how cold it is in Canada, but in New York, we're having like a freezing front, like a cold front. It's like 10 degrees. But, you know, like I said, this is the K-Squared Observer. We're renaming the episode. This is Elite POV Podcast, episode 83, K-Squared Observer.
Okay.
But it's really cold, which is why I'm wearing this WWE hoodie. So I'm sorry, but Liv Morgan did really good in the Royal Rumble. So
yeah, I'm a big Liv Morgan fan, so I can appreciate the hoodie. Okay, so
it's very comfortable.
I bet it is. It's freezing up here too. I think the whole East Coast is getting hit by this like freezing, whatever it is. Minus 14 Fahrenheit, Adam. Damn, man, that's cold. But hello to everyone in the live chat. Yes, anyone listening on audio or watching back, we are live every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch and YouTube/ElitePOVs, where you can find us. There, we're also available on audio after the shows are done on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're getting your podcast. Just search up Elite POV. You'll find us there, and you'll actually find all the other shows that you get on the Elite POV brand in audio form. Stuff like the K2 Observer, like we mentioned. Actually, K2 Observer is actually Patreon exclusive, which we'll get to in a second here.
But
you'll get other shows like Let's Talk with myself and Jackie. The iHeartWC podcast, any other podcast we'll do, like actually myself and Kimmy will be doing Nerdy Elites coming up soon because U Season 4 is literally around the corner. I just finished rewatching Season 3, so I'm prepared. But speaking of Patreon, folks, patreon.com/ElitePOV is where you can support the Elite POV brand. You get a lot of extras on there. There are a lot of different tiers for you to subscribe with and to support the brand. You get a lot of exclusive stuff like the K2 Observer. Myself and Kimmy get your version of the Wrestling Observer from us and learn some things. And I'm just going to say one thing. I'm going to go back to our layout here, Kimmy. Just want to say one thing.
Yes.
If anyone pays attention to the wrestling news, you know, is on the dirt sheets, and reads them dirt sheets. I'm just saying, if you listened to last Monday's episode of the K2 Observer, you would have already known that The Rock was going to be at next year's WrestleMania because guess what? We said it first. Just saying.
We did.
Just saying.
My insider also is texting me. But yes, I did. I got that first. I got that before anybody. And I also like to say, too, that Meltzer reported today that it's locked in. Io and Dakota versus Ronda and Shayna for WrestleMania as well. So,
oh, is that for the tag belts?
Yes, sir. Okay.
But anyways, that's where you can support us on patreon.com/ElitePOV. There's another way to support us, and that's our shop. ShopElitePOV.com is where you can find our great merchandise. New merchandise on the way, currently being designed, but there's some cool merchandise on there you guys can get, from sweaters to tank tops, the t-shirts, the coffee mugs, all that jazz, available on ShopElitePOV.com. But Kimmy, it's just me and you today. Just to talk about,
I know,
AEW.
This is so weird.
Talk about Dynamite this week, and we'll kind of go over Rampage tonight, which, you know, I'll admit, and I know a lot of people out there are the same. not a lot of people wanted to. If you're I wouldn't say I'm hardcore enough that I make sure I tune into Rampage every single week. I kind of look at the Rampage card, and that kind of determines me, like, if I'm going to stay up that late. It sucks, because if Rampage was at a better time every week, I probably would watch it every week. But 10 p.m., if you really want the East Coast wrestling fan to stay up till 10 p.m. to watch Rampage, there really needs to be matches or a match on there for you to stay up to watch. Because, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm just like, I'll watch it in the morning. I got other stuff to do. I don't mean I'm going to bed at 10 p.m. I just mean, like, if it doesn't, you know, if it's not going to gain my interest. That's why Tony Khan has said before, and he said in recent press conferences, that they are planning to make, they're looking at the metrics, they're looking, oh, who draws and who doesn't draw, and that's how they're going to be booking Rampage. And sure enough, who they got booked for tonight? Kenny Omega and the Bucks are booked tonight, which is sure to draw a big rating, hopefully, for AEW Rampage. I mean, I'm staying up now, or I mean, I'm going to not be busy, I guess, and watch Rampage tonight, because I want to see Kenny and the Bucks on Rampage tonight. And they're facing Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy, because there's a story there going on, and they're facing one of the best trios teams in AEW. So, you know what I mean? It's a shame. It is, Kimmy, a damn shame that it's so late, Rampage.
Well, are you trying to tell me that you're not staying up to watch two former Ring of Honor champions in Rouge and Christopher Daniels main event Rampage?
Listen here, Miss Honor POV. I know, don't get mad because I don't want, don't get this twisted. It's not because there's Ring of Honor people on there and why I'm refusing to watch. I am watching tonight and I'm going to watch it all. And that is also really cool. I'm glad I know, and I know, I guess we can talk about it technically, because technically it's AEW related news in some way. What did they announce today? They announced that ROH tapings are beginning at the end of the month in Orlando. TV tapings. So they've said they went and addressed talent as well. So, like we talked about on Honor POV, Kimmy, which is also available, guys, go check out the first episode of Honor POV, which is going to be hosted by Kimmy once that gets going. It looks like it's going to be flourishing now that we know the TV tapings are coming up. We literally said on that episode, we're like, there'll be more episodes of these when the TV tapings come. It's like, I swear to God, someone at AEW watches this brand. They have to, because everything that we say on a show, if it's something that we want or something that we want to see happen, literally happens within a few days after we talk about it. Especially this show.
That's what I'm saying. I sent you the thing yesterday where it was rumored that Ring of Honor tapings were starting, and you didn't answer me. Because Kyle ghosts everybody, as I found out. And then they announced it today! And I got so excited.
And I don't ghost people on purpose. I swear I have like ADHD to the point where I don't answer my phone.
No, he does. Totally on purpose. But then, you know what's also really cool about that weekend?
What?
I'm making my commentary debut the same weekend that Ring of Honor is starting their TV tapings. Call it a coincidence. February 25th said Kimmy's rights. This is Kimmy's day.
Wow. So you're making your commentary debut.
Not for Ring of Honor.
Now, are you like the main? You have to be the color person, right? You're like the Tony Schiavone, I would say, right? You do the, or the Taz. You're not Excalibur.
Well, I think I could pull it off. I do speak rather quickly, so I could, you know, boom, 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 fact, fact, fact. Here we go. So I can, if I wanted to. I have to talk to the other person that's doing it with me.
And guys, I'm gonna purposely ghost you guys in the chat. Everyone, Kyle, the friendly ghost, sent it. So you asked me. I said, I don't even know what question you even asked me. I couldn't even remember what you asked me. And I'm sorry if I missed that. But yeah, it's exciting that they're getting these tapes. It looks like, from what we've been even talking about on this show, that they're going to be using, or even on Honor POV, that looks like they're going to be using that stage in Orlando. Because it didn't say where they're taping this, but it just said Orlando, which I'm assuming has to be the stage that they've been doing dark tapings with. My assumption, at least.
I can't see it not being in Universal. Like, I can't see it being anywhere else in Orlando. Like, I'm sorry, they're not... Where was the what's it called?
NXT?
WWE during COVID. No.
Oh, that was at the PC.
The Thunderdome.
Oh, the Thunderdome. No, but that was a baseball stadium.
No, and then they moved it to an actual arena at one point.
I don't even know where that
is. Like, in between the
PC. I know what you're talking about. I have no idea. Couldn't even tell you where.
It's not going there.
I don't think it's there either.
It's not going there. So, where else in our... You know what? They're doing it at Disney World. Screw it. It's going to be outside.
Disney, right in front of the castle. And we're going to have Mickey versus Goofy. Yeah.
Stop. I love Goofy. He's my favorite person ever. I love him.
Gorge.
But yes.
Anyways.
Don't go insulting him like that. He's a person.
Well, yeah, there's a person in the costume. I understand.
Oh, my God.
But anyways, yeah, that's pretty cool to learn that the tapings are finally getting going. So people who've subscribed to Honor Club already are thinking about it, or people who have subscribed and are just watching, you know, content from the past. Hey, you're going to have new content coming up and in the taping starting at the end of the month. So that's exciting news. So I guess I'm going to assume we're going to start seeing less of who is going to be on Ring of Honor on AEW TV starting after that. So... I would assume so, because that was like what Tony Khan said in the beginning, is that he wanted Ring of Honor TV to be separate from AEW. He didn't want crossovers unless it really necessarily warranted it. He didn't want it to people appear on both shows. So I'm going to assume that whoever is going to be signed to Ring of Honor and only be on Ring of Honor, we're only, you know, in the next few weeks, they'll be transitioned into Ring of Honor TV. Now, this is interesting though, Kimmy, because there are some champions who I believe won't be in Ring of Honor that are currently champions, like AKA Claudio Castagnoli. He's the world champion. Unless they, you know, they negotiated his contract, restructured it, and he's going to be in Ring of Honor. But, you know, that doesn't make sense because he's still part of the BCC. So I'm going to assume you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's interesting too, because then Wheeler Yuta is also the pure champion.
Right.
But I think the thing too is it's something that I said when Jericho won, is they're just trying to get a rating. So whoever the face of Ring of Honor is going to be, whether it be Claudio, whether it be somebody else, whether it be Daniel Garcia, because that'd be amazing. I think they're just trying to boost a rating for kind of like the first month of Honor Club to make people want to buy it. Because if it's like a younger person, like, let's just say this is a hypothetical, this won't happen. Let's just say that, and a Dynamite coming up, it's going to be Claudio versus Daniel Garcia, and Daniel Garcia wins the Ring of Honor title. I don't think Daniel Garcia is going to be pushing the Honor Club subscriptions. No offense to him. But Claudio, who has a very big fan base and is a very talented, well-known wrestler, would push those Honor Club subscriptions. So I think they're going to wait until maybe Supercard of Honor to take the belt off people, because I think that however many episodes they're going to film in Orlando, that is going to be the whole build to Supercard of Honor, just all of those episodes. So I think whoever is a champion who's not going to be on Ring of Honor is going to lose their title at Supercard of Honor.
Okay, so that's actually where I was going to go with that. So I think they're probably going to have people on both shows up until the pay-per-view, and the pay-per-view will be the last pay-per-view before the transition is going to happen. So I think you're right. I think at that Supercard of Honor pay-per-view, whoever is a title holder of a Ring of Honor title that won't be in Ring of Honor's roster, that'll be on AEW TV, will be transitioned over, which we've seen them kind of do a whole list of transition champions in their one pay-per-view in 2022. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm very interested to see where this goes, especially with the upcoming weeks leading up to the first couple of tapings. So exciting stuff. Some other news, there's that Bloomberg interview about AEW things, and some interesting tidbits came out of that interview. One I want to bring up is the video game. I know, just like everyone else, like myself, when the hell is this thing fucking coming out? Like, give us a date at least. Like, because all it says, it's been coming soon for like the last 8 months. That's not coming soon. Okay. Coming soon is like if it was coming out a month or two from now. So, what was said in this interview, or there was a little part in the interview that the person described what they are talking about with Tony Khan, was that it was mentioned that about the video game and then the release being later this month in February. which is very interesting because I like to think that, like, if it was in February, we would already know by now. Like, they would have had, like, over a month to prepare and to start advertising and to push the advertising and to be on, like, every single Dynamite leading all the way up to the release date. So I think that was probably taken out of context and it's not going to be February. My guess, if they are almost ready with the game and it's very soon going to come up, I think you kind of do what WWE does. You release it along with a upcoming major event. Whether, I don't think it's going to be Revolution. Maybe they are going to be ready for Revolution. Who knows? Probably not, because it's literally right around the corner. So Double or Nothing seems to be a good time to kind of promote the video game and to kind of release it. You know, you have Double, you do Double or Nothing sponsored by AEW Fight Forever, right? So my guess is that's probably where we're going to get the video game. It'll be May, June-ish. That's my assumption. But I'm sure you've seen this whole Bloomberg interview, Kimmy.
I'm more interested with the HBO Max thing we got going on and who that person was who knows the structure of business, who suggested this, who wanted to remain anonymous. I wonder who that was.
I don't know, Kimmy. You tell me, Kimmy.
I think this person might like a list. Yeah. I think he has many, many names in many companies.
Yeah.
He's the leader of a faction that everyone on Elite POV hates.
I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, the thing about
anyone else with him, though. You can?
It's just no. But it's more, I'm more leaning towards the HBO Max thing. I mean, like, I don't have it because, A, I don't have Peacock or the WWE Network. Do you have the WWE Network through Peacock?
Yeah, there's no WWE Network anymore. In America, it doesn't exist.
Oh, well, I would like to think
that. You can only get it through Peacock.
Okay, so I would like to think that Peacock is a better streaming platform than HBO Max. I don't know. I don't have either. I can't get either. So I imagine that if they are going to do the same thing that WWE did with teaming up with Peacock to do the same thing with HBO Max, is it better? Like, I don't know. You tell me, Kimmy. Is HBO Max a better platform than Peacock?
So the one thing I'll say is, because obviously I did a whole thing in school about this. So the thing with Peacock is obviously there's a lot more like things on Peacock. The Olympics were streamed on Peacock. Notre Dame football is Peacock. So there's a lot of live sports that do take place on Peacock as well as WWE. So a lot of people have already subscribed to Peacock for those things, as well as I know a lot of people who are Office fans because that's where The Office is. So there's a lot of people that are subscribed to Peacock. Yes, I know. I love The Office too. Me and you both. The thing with HBO Max is obviously you have Euphoria, which is one of the more popular shows. That's the one with Zendaya in it.
Okay.
Zendaya all the way from Shake It Up. But the thing is, HBO Max doesn't really have a lot of live sports. The only thing they have is soccer sometimes. So AEW would be really the only live sport that would be streamed on HBO Max, which would be good because they could really be like, hey, if we could stream AEW live, because, you know, I'm assuming that we're not going to use Bleacher Report.
Well, I don't think they'd be streamed live. I don't think Dynamite and Rampage would be streamed live on there.
No. Not Dynamite and Rampage. I mean, like, pay-per-views.
Okay.
That's where I was getting at. Not Dynamite and Rampage. We're not taking everything off.
Okay. All right. I was so confused there for a second.
No. We're going pay-per-views. And I think, you know, with sports becoming more popular with streaming, because actually streaming is more popular than cable. That report came out this summer. 38.8% of people are more likely to get streaming channels than just like a cable box, which is crazy. But I think that HBO Max, it would be good for them because they could be like, you know what, we stream AEW, we can get other sports too. Like, why don't we stream more soccer? Why don't we stream, like, why don't we look at more things that we could stream? So I think it'd be good for them, but I think a lot of people have Peacock more than HBO Max. So I think it's really interesting. But I think the other interesting thing too is the thing that came out with today with WWE as well. Comcast isn't interested in buying WWE and they have the network.
Interesting.
I don't know what does.
Well, they have their own shit to deal with.
That's my lesson. I know.
But I know it's going to be interesting to see what they do. The most talked about thing that they would have to talk about when it comes to going to a streaming platform like that is you're not going to get the same pay-per-view revenue. You're not going to get the buy rates, the whatever revenue you were making from those pay-per-views, right? People are paying a subscription-based service that's a lot cheaper than buying a pay-per-view, right? So the pay-per-view buys are obviously going to be a little bit, you know, or heavily affected if you're going to just show the live pay-per-views. You know, I mean, they would still have access to buy the pay-per-views through Fight TV and Bleacher Report, but like the majority of people, if they have access to HBO Max, I don't know what it would be for Canada. Senate mentioned our version is called Crave, so I imagine it'd be on there. You know what I mean? Like it's a really, really big move, and I don't know how much truth to it there's going to be. For some reason, I don't know. It's just me. I don't see it happening this year. If it's going to happen, I for some reason think that's like a start of next year kind of thing, like starting fresh 2024, they'll be on HBO Max. I kind of feel like the deal would have already happened by now if it was going to happen.
Well, I could see that too, because I think the other thing was like if they were heavily talking to HBO Max and it was going to happen this year, I don't think they would have rebooted Honor Club. That's just my personal opinion. There's no way that Tony Khan's going to be in charge of two separate streaming platforms. Well, it's not that he's going to be in charge of HBO Max, but he's going to have to deal with two separate streaming channels, and he wouldn't want to do that. But I think it's interesting because I know that, like, for example, every time WWE shows a pay-per-view, especially this past year, the Peacock numbers have always gone up. So, like, the Royal Rumble, for example, had 2 million people watching the Royal Rumble. And that was a big number for them. That was like, I believe it was like 30 to 40% more than last year. So the numbers keep increasing, but I don't know like how much money they get from that. They get something. I just don't know what it is.
But okay. Well, only time will tell. So,
but there's another piece of news you have to discuss.
Probably forgetting it because usually I'm not running the show in the run. There's a rundown, and I'm just all over the place. Literally, okay, Kim, you can't say yo when this was like literally 5 minutes before the show when this all happened.
Well, in case y'all missed out, March 18th, AEW and house shows are coming to fruition. Yeah. That's right. We are running the house show circuit. This is really good. I touched on this, I believe it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, where I said, you know, this is where WWE makes a lot of their revenue, is on their house shows, especially because WWE has a demographic for younger kids, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What don't kids have at night? School. So it gives them a chance to go see wrestling, and with them debuting on Saturday, March 18th, this is great for kids to go to a live event. And, you know, they have already announced some big stars like Britt Baker and Jon Moxley are going to be there. They're running in Ohio, which is a really popular AEW crowd. Again, they're always there. It's either New York, Texas, or Ohio. One of the three. If they're not there, it's a miracle. But I'm really excited. This should be really good for them. And, you know, it also was reported this week that AEW, I believe, $100 million in revenue, which is the most they've done. So this was a fantastic year for them. And I think with the house shows, it's going to increase and they're going to get more money. So good job, Tony Khan. Way to go.
Yeah, the house show thing is we've been waiting for a while now, right? We've been dying to see when this is going to start and how they were going to do it and just all the details, right? Because now they have Jeff Jarrett there who's going to be behind kind of like the person foreseeing all the live events and kind of directing it and all that stuff. He basically in charge of them. So it'll be interesting to see how the first one's booked, to kind of read about it, how it was done, how it was produced, how good it was. Like, was it a little bit more geared towards the kids than an actual AEW TV show, or were they kind of keeping the same kind of concept rating for it? It'll be all interesting to see what they do. And again, it's another form of revenue as well. They gained $100,000 last year. This is just going to add to it if they're going to have another great year the same way, right? So, and what better way to expand their content and to try to expand their audience than doing live events, right? I've been to my fair share of WWE live events. They're always a good time, regardless if it's not on TV or not. So, it'll be interesting to see how they do it. after this going forward. They've only announced that date. So if you're in that area, I highly suggest just to go. It's the first ever live event they're going to do. So you know it's going to kick off with a bang. They kind of technically did one already during during COVID when they were at the Daly's place. The house always wins. So I don't really consider that a test run for live events. But we saw footage from it that they kind of, like, the wrestlers had a, you know, they kind of didn't have the pressure of being on camera. They're kind of doing a little bit more fun stuff. So I imagine that's probably, it's still going to be the same way. It'll be very indie without TV cameras. It'll be cool. It should be a fun show. But
let's go to Dynamite.
Yes, I was actually going to say, we're going to transition into Dynamite this week. Very interesting episode of Dynamite this week. I'd say it was an okay episode. I wasn't, like, over the top, like, crazy about it. I say it was a good episode. You know, there's going to be weeks where they really hit and have an amazing episode. There's going to be some weeks where it's just like, hey, it was a good week. That was this week. It was a good week. A lot of cool matches. We had Hangman and Moxley, Samoa Joe and Darby Allin. We also had Wardlow coming back at the end of that Samoa Joe thing, which is really cool. We'll talk about the women's match. We had Jade versus Red Velvet for the TBS Championship. We also had, what else did we have?
Danielson and Thatcher.
That's it. Danielson and Timothy Thatcher, which some cool stuff happened afterwards. After that, it was a really cool episode of Dynamite. We had the whole segment with the Acclaimed and the Guns, which led to a very, very interesting thing with Billy Gunn. And there's a lot to talk about with that. So I guess, Kimmy, we can start with, let's start with Hangman and Moxley. So, obviously, Moxley's home state, right? And this is how they kicked off Dynamite. And this is the rubber match between Moxley and Hangman. And it's been a really great feud since they've started this feud. It's been one of my favorite feuds going on TV right now. And this was a physical match. Like, the start of the, like, they were brawl, the start of the match didn't happen till like halfway through what we saw after the entrances. Like, we had Moxley make his entrance, which was really cool because he basically did the Shield entrance with his dad and Wheeler Yuta coming through the crowd. But I guess there's no, like, tunnel for him to do his regular entrance, but that it was still cool to see his dad coming through the crowd with him, especially in his home state. Then you had Hangman make his entrance, and Moxley jumped them, and they brawled almost everywhere before this match even started. So the blood feud between these two was real. It was a great physical match. Moxley with a very sneaky, sneaky win on Hangman Page, and we got after the match. I have no idea what the hell that was. That was just like, it was just like two, like, teenage brothers arguing with each other and yelling at each other and flipping each other off every other moment. And then Moxley did like a snow angel, and then Hangman did like a burpee. And I'm like, what is going on here? What is happening? So is this feud over? Is it not over? Let's discuss. Kimmy, what'd you think of the match first and foremost? And we'll talk about where this is leading to.
So I think the funny thing is, when we all watch Dynamite together, I kind of keep my volume really, really low because I like the commentary from Kyle, Phil, and Jackie. So I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, who is this old dude walking to the ring? And Kyle's like, don't you have ears? Aren't you listening? I said, no, because I wanted to hear your opinion. My God.
Not my opinion. That's not my opinion. That's not an opinion. You're asking for a fact. There's a difference between an opinion and a fact.
I was confused. I was like, who is this dude? I thought the match was really good. I think, you know, I agree with Kyle. This is one of the better feuds that are happening on TV right now, especially because the whole thing with Adam, like, we still don't know what fences he's trying to mend. What is happening with that? Did we all forget this happened like 2 weeks ago? Who is he talking about? That's what I want to know. But I don't think the feud's over. I think this is going to lead to a lights out match at Revolution.
Lights out. Okay. Moxley has been part of that before. I was there. Was I there for that one? No.
No.
The one when he with Kenny.
No, that was the first Double or Nothing. Okay. You were at the first Full Gear.
That was first Full Gear. And that was, what match was that? That was, it was Kenny and Moxley, was it not?
I don't...
Yeah, it was Kenny and Moxley. And there was that big bed of barbed wire that they suplexed each other into. And there's a spot at the end of the match where they exposed the ring right to the board. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
maybe
I believe that was a lights out match. I guarantee that was a lights out match. Someone in the chat's gonna correct us and they're gonna know. And I bet you I'm right. It was a lights out match at Full Gear 2019. Yeah, see, Jackie
said it was.
Well.
You know what? This isn't the case squared. My percentage. Well. This is not the case squared.
Anyways, yeah, someone put exploding barbed wire death match in the chat.
No, that was not it.
I don't think they're trying that for a long time. I think they've rethought that, and the chances of that happening bad again. No, I don't think it's going to happen anymore. But lights out match, I could see that's last. I seen someone put last man standing. That also kind of makes sense. Yeah, there's got to be a payoff match. But like, what if like Hangman wins in this payoff match? Technically, they would still need a rubber match, right? Because then it would be tied.
I mean, Moxley can go on a longer vacation.
We could just not. We can just not. I mean, even after if say Hangman won at Revolution, I don't think anyone's gonna be like, oh, well, they're tied. They need to finish it. They can just end it and then move on, right? There does need to be
I think Hangman's gonna win regardless. Like, I think that's the end goal, is Hangman winning, because I think this is kind of like slowly developing into him getting back into the title picture.
Okay, I can see.
Don't know how we get there. But that's, I think, the road we're taking.
Hopefully we have no hissy fights like we got at the end of this week. Because I don't know what the hell that was. I'm just flipping off each other. It was just, it got awkward. And I'm like, okay, can we move on from this?
It was funny.
And then him and Hangman doing a burpee.
I think the snow angel was directed at Punk, to be honest.
Oh.
I think it was like, because that's what he does, right? Like he's.
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like,
It could have been. I mean, because Hangman has the beef with Punk, so who knows?
That's what I'm saying. I think it was a summit, though. But I was the only one who said it, so I was like, I don't want to sound crazy. So hopefully someone else says it, and no one did. So
not like that, Ascendant. Never like that. But anyways, let's talk about the Acclaim segment. Now, the Acclaim came out, and they wrestled those two guys from Dark. Who actually are getting like cheered and popular on Dark because of their names. Oh, God, I can't. Their names were hilarious, and I'm already forgetting them. So someone in the chat, please tell me those names. They are the greatest jobber names I've ever seen in my entire life. And they should be signed to the company just to be jobbers for the rest of their life. Just to be that jobber tag team that just loses all the time. I would love that. They were hilarious. But the Acclaim got the win over them, obviously. The big story here, though, is with the guns coming out. Big insult fest between both of them. The Acclaim, and when Billy Gunn had to separate them. And the guns dropping that line on Billy Gunn, like bringing up the pills and stuff. I'm like, holy shit. I mean, only his sons can probably be the only people in the world to say a promo like that to Billy Gunn. But basically it baited, like, they wanted a title match, and it baited Billy Gunn to accept the title match on the Acclaim's behalf, who were confused by this. So now it's next week. It's official. We're getting the World Tag Team title match next week. We have the guns against the Acclaimed. Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd. That was their name. Unbelievable jobber names. Like, I kind of want to create them in 2K23 and have them part of AWF, because that would be hilarious. But anyways, Kimmy, next week's title match. Do you think there is a chance that the guns come out on top here?
I think they're going to spread this out to Revolution. And I think Billy Gunn's going to turn on the Acclaim to go back with the Ass Boys. And he's just going to go full heel. Oh. I think that's... I'm not saying it's a good idea.
No, it's a lot of heat. Because like,
no, it is a lot of heat.
The daddy ass thing is so over right now.
I know, but I think the thing is, like, if you, like, for me, if I'm really, like, thinking of, like, who's going to lose the Acclaim, because that's what I always think when title reigns last, like, or, like, not that the title reign has lasted, like, so long that I'm like, oh my god, I want the Acclaim to lose, but I'm like, who can they lose to? And I'm like, I don't know, that's an excellent question, because we're not really using any tag teams at the moment, but I think, you know, this is going to be the match of Revolution. I think either Billy Gunn's going to call, like, screw up next week, but the Acclaim's gonna win, and then like the like, oh okay, here we go, this was gonna happen, can't be, saw a vision, okay, so the Acclaim's gonna win, and then the Billy Gunn's gonna be celebrating like, oh my god, yay, and then the Ass Boys are gonna be on the ground and they're gonna be like talking to Billy like, you know, how could you do this to us, we're your only sons, blah blah blah, whatever, and then Billy's gonna be like, you know what, you're right, and attack them from behind. He's going to align with the Ass Boys. And then at Revolution, if this does happen, the Ass Boys will be being acclaimed.
Really?
Boom.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So
that's the vision.
My only thinking is, or what I'm thinking about is, like, if the Ass Boys become AEW World Tag Team Champions, a few things here. One, they actually kind of deserve it for all this, the amount of work they did during the COVID era, and to be hype at ringside during when there was a time with no crowd, and the amount of times that they were there weekly through a pandemic and putting in the work that they did, you know, in a way it's like, you know, you get a little title run, because we know if they became World Tag Team Champions, it's not going to last long. That they're not going on a long run. And the second thing is, like, they're an easy transition champion. If you need to transition the titles over to somebody who are next in line for those World Tag Team titles, but are baby faces, and you don't want to do baby, you don't want to make the Acclaim healed, and you don't want to do a baby face to baby face transition, the Guns are a nice team to have those titles to do that transition. I think the Acclaim have held their titles for a good amount of time so far, even leading up to Revolution. I wouldn't mind to see a title change if it was going. It would all depend on, because right now at the top of my head, I can't think of who's going to be next in line. I would love this.
Flight.
You think Top Flight, but...
No, but I think, like, so the Guns are going to win, right, at Revolution. Then Double or Nothing, the match is going to be Top Flight versus the Ass Boys, and then
now Top Flight's going to win. Why do you think Top Flight? What's the reasoning behind Top Flight being the number one contenders?
After they lose at Revolution to the Bucks and Kenny,
no.
You know, they're going to revamp themselves, no. And they're going to go on this...
I'm sorry. That doesn't sound me. At that point, no, the Acclaim keep the titles then. If I'm not sold on a team that's next in line that look like they should be winning against the Ass Boys by the next pay-per-view, then I don't want the Acclaim to drop the titles, because it would make no sense. Tough Flight's good, don't get me wrong. But haven't been a tag team enough for a while. Like, they have been a tag team for a while, but they haven't been together wrestling for a while as a tag team enough to make me think that they're ready for the tag team titles. Not a chance.
They beat the Bucks.
This isn't the Fed. We don't just throw the titles on whoever here. Tony Khan makes it mean something when there's a champion that becomes a champion in this company. So it's not just going to be, oh, well, Top Flight, they look like a good team, so we should throw the titles on them. No. No. They've only been back together for like 2 or 3 months because we had his brother out for almost a year. Doesn't mean they get a tag team title shot.
No. That's not their fault. There was a car accident, some injuries.
The only one I would see, but it kind of looks, there's other stories going on, whatever the truth is, whatnot. But the only thing I would see is FTR beating the Guns. Because there's a story there at least, right? There's a big story there at least. That would make sense.
No, it would. I just haven't heard anything with like what they're going to
do. I just keep seeing people as like, oh, the FTRs are going to recover from their injuries. It makes sense because CM Punk's recovering from his injuries and they're going to come back together as a heel trio and face the Elite at Double or Nothing. And like, okay.
No.
Well.
Listen.
The trio thing, probably not.
I was going to go on a whole rant. Never mind.
I was going to say is I'm leaning more towards, if the Guns win the titles at Revolution, it's got to be FTR by Double or Nothing. By then, it's a lot of rested time. FTR comes back. There's a story between them and the Guns. And there you go. Then you make FTR your World Tag Team Champions.
the end goal. I was just going to say, you know, not only did Chris Jericho call CM Punk a cancer, Seth Rollins called CM Punk a cancer last week as well.
And his very interesting cowboy outfit that he was wearing, whatever the hell that was. He looked like he went to like a lost and found bin and grabbed some cowboy stuff and put it on. That was some interesting stuff he was wearing.
He was giving Michael Hayes, and I was all here for it. I was like, let's go. This man going to win the Royal Rumble. And you know what? He got eliminated by Logan Paul. Yeah. And on Instagram Live today, he called out Logan Paul. And I said, you know what? I don't want to go to California anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, and he's probably going to lose to Logan Paul WrestleMania. And that'll be two straight WrestleManias he loses.
No, it would be four. Oh. Kevin Owens, Cesaro. Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Claudio. Cody, Logan Paul. Well, he wasn't Claudio when he beat Rollins. So this would be four. The last time he won at WrestleMania was WrestleMania 35. I was there.
Wow. Damn.
He won the title.
Anyways. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the tag titles. I will agree with you when you said that next week it's going to be, something's going to happen. The storyline is going to progress up until the pay-per-view. So, we shall see. Also happening on Dynamite, your girl Red Velvet taking on Jade Cargill for the TBS Championship. You were very adamant that Red Velvet was going to win, but Jade becomes 50. Well, didn't come true. Jade became 50-0. And I mean, it's like at this point, they're just waiting. It just looked like they're waiting for Chris Statlander to get better at this point. Like, I'm under the impression now that it's going to be Statlander because there's nobody left. Nobody's left that she hasn't beaten already that would make sense for them to beat Jade Cargill. Nobody.
I know.
The only person I would accept at this point, but it's not going to make
sense. Layla's going to turn.
No. No, no. It's not going to be Layla Gray. No, Layla Gray is not being...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I said what I thought was going to happen on Wednesday was that Layla was going to turn on Jade and that she's going to help Red Velvet win. This was my vision and it didn't happen. I thought the baddies were going to reunite and I could continue to call myself a little baddie. I feel like I can't do that anymore.
The sentence says, Kimmy is like Raven with these visions.
Hey, you know what? I've had visions in the past and they've been right. So let's just keep riding the wave, guys. No, but I was like, you know, the baddies are going to come together and we're all going to be a team again. This is going to be great. And you know what? It didn't happen. But I will say, because I know a lot of people kind of trash Red Velvet's wrestling style, I will say I think she's gotten better. I think this is one of her better matches. And I think, you know, she did get a lot of offense in. Kiara came out. Then, you know, Layla was there too, so we had that interaction as well. But this was one of her better matches. So, progression, people. Remember, Red Velvet was one of, like, the OGs. You want to talk about OG talent. Mm-hmm. Red Velvet was one of them.
You know what I can see, Kimmy, actually? I can see the baddies turning on Jade, costing her future title match. None of them winning the title, but them three aligning together and costing Jade or... in a match where she's like asking for help and they all turn their backs on her and walk away. And then, you know, when Jade loses a title, she like, they do a story where like Jade's trying to get their forgiveness back. And maybe like, this is a good way to make Red Velvet stand out as a leader and kind of push her in the right direction. And her to maybe be the leader of the baddies. That'd be kind of cool.
Cause I think the thing is too, is like out of all three of them, like she has a figure, right? So they obviously see something in her if she has a figure. Like, that's how I kind of see this. So I could definitely see that happening, but I just want to call myself Little Batty again. I feel like I can't do that because my family's breaking up. So we have that going on. Then your girl's beating up Britt Baker. So rude, by the way. So rude.
Hey, well, fuck around and find out.
She didn't do anything.
She did everything.
Saraya came to her.
Britt knows what she did. Britt knows what she did. What did she do? Britt, Saraya hasn't forgotten.
Britt. By the way, did you see that Britt saw our clip last week when I was defending her?
Oh, really? That's funny.
Because I tagged her. I was like, look, I defended you.
But that's interesting, that whole storyline, right? So it... We know that they kind of, it's if it's not obvious now they're leading towards a women's blood and guts match, then I don't know what's going to do it for you, because they did the whole thing with Ruby too backstage, which is interesting. So we kind of see that the Brit team is going to be like Brit. Now, what if Jamie turns on Brit and joins the other team?
That screws up everything.
But what if that just for the blood and guts match, and that leads to a feud? That's the thing that leads to Brit versus Jamie. After the blood and guts.
No.
Because blood and guts is not going to be at the pay-per-view. It's going to be at a random Dynamite, wherever they're going to do
it. No, I know. So then...
So what if I double or nothing, it's Brit versus Jamie?
So then Brit's team would be Brit, Willow,
Ruby.
Sheeta. No, I think Ruby's still turning. I think Ruby's going to turn on Brit.
Okay.
And Brit's going to trust her. Okay. And then she's going to be like, why did you trust me? Boom. No, Jamie can't. It wouldn't work out. It's not a part of the plan.
Or maybe he does it in the match. Like maybe there's something happens in the match that causes.
There we go.
That would be cool.
It can happen in the match. It can't happen before. Yeah. It messes up the teams. But
this is leading towards Women's Blood and Guts, which is going to be. That's going to draw a. We know because people are dying from what I gather on Twitter and just everything. People are dying for this match to be announced, and it's going to generate a lot of ratings because a woman's blood and guts match is. We've seen what it did for how the excitement for when they did the first women's War Games match in WWE. People were extremely excited for that, and it was such an unbelievable moment. You can even see in some of the interviews they did after, the wrestlers talking after that happening, saying how much of a great moment it was. We know that AEW, this is where they're leaning towards, and I cannot wait for them to get there. It's going to be absolute fire.
It's going to main event.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge deal.
Regardless of that, we'll move on here, and we will talk about Bryan Danielson and Timothy Thatcher. So, obviously, Jackie's not here to absolutely tell us how much she loved this match because she is a technical wrestling, I don't even know.
Aficionado.
The queen of technical wrestling. I don't even know what to call you. You're a tech wrestling mark, Jackie, who's watching right now in the chat. That's what you are. And I know she was just in love with this match. But it was a fantastic match. It was so good. They lived up to the tech wrestling hype of this match. It was hilarious when Timothy Thatcher came out, though. Because, like, the music, the getup, I'm like, this guy is like if you ordered Walter from Wish.com. Like, with the music and everything. I'm like, why? Because he's coming out to that sympathy that symphony music type of, like, Beethoven-style music. He's got the long robe. And I'm like, why is this, like, very Walter? But again, this is another match that MJF's been putting in place. He's making Bryan Danielson wrestle every week to get up to a match with him for the Iron Man match at Revolution, and MJF's just trying to wear him out enough so that it's going to be a nice, easy, breezy match for him at Revolution. And you know, he tried to, when the referee was knocked out, he tried to interfere. Takeshka came out for the save, which was hilarious because, like, Takeshka was in a hoodie. And I'm like, for a split second, I'm like, oh my God, is that CM? Because they look like CM Punk from the side. And I'm like, oh wait, it's Takeshka. And they start brawling. And then we got that brawl after the match backstage with MJF and Danielson won, but we already knew that. With MJF and Takeshka. And which is really cool. It was like they had all, like, the producer and everything separating them. And then Renee Young out of nowhere just, hey guys, guess what? Tony Khan just told me, separate first. Tony Khan just told me next week, Takeshka's getting an eliminator match against you, MJF. And he starts flipping his shit and losing his crap. But Takeshka, and I said it while we were watching, I'm like, I love that ever since they've officially signed Takeshka, that they have been putting him in, like, serious storylines, heavily putting him on TV. And it's an appreciation level that we all appreciated about Takeshka and wanted him heavily signed because we know that this guy is a going to be a very big deal in the future. And the potential with him is, like, sky's the limit with him. So he, I'm loving the way that they're pushing him, and now he gets a very serious, I know he's not going to win, but next week he gets a very serious title eliminator match, or maybe he does win, which would be very interesting. A title eliminator match against MJF. But Kimmy, would, I know you don't want to talk about the Timothy Thatcher match. It's not your forte, but let's talk about what after, the whole Takeshka stuff. Let's talk about that. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say that. Well, I agree with Jackie's comment. The more I hate the match, the more she likes it. That is so accurate. Because, damn. It's not that I didn't like it. I've just seen Timothy Thatcher in person so many times. And every single time, I'm like, why? 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 Why is this happening? Like, the same reason how I'm going to see Will Ospreay wrestle live in California. Why?
You're so lucky, man. Like, You gotta kiss the ground he walks on when you go in there, Kimmy. Because that right there is a pro wrestler. And a guy that's 100% better than Seth freaking Rollins.
I don't think he is. First of all, Seth Rollins making a hell of a lot more bank than Will Ospreay is. But, you know, I think Takeshka's going to win.
Oh.
And I think that MJF is going to pin Takeshka. So Brian could be like, you're a coward. You couldn't even pin me. You want to say, because MJF's going to go on this whole thing. Like, you know, I beat the best technical wrestler in the world. I lasted 60 minutes with Brian Danielson. And Daniel's going to be like, but you didn't pin me. You pinned somebody else. So I see that happening.
Wait, say that again.
So MJF, right, after he wins this match, he's going to cut a promo. He's going to be like, you know, I beat the best technical wrestler in the world.
Wait, so I'm talking about the Takeshka match. You think Takeshka's going to win?
No. Yes, and then at Revolution, MJF's going to pin Takeshka instead of Bryan Danielson. It's going to be a triple threat.
A triple threat Iron Man match.
Yes.
No. They're not doing that.
Yes.
It's not going to be a triple threat Iron Man match. I'm telling you right now, Kimmy, it's not going to be a triple threat Iron Man match.
You know, I book AEW.
It's a great, it's a cool idea, but it's not going to happen. They've already pretty much booked it at that's going to be the main event one-on-one. Because Tony Khan doesn't do that stuff with his world title. When there's a match set in place, he sticks to it. Unless there's a crazy injury.
You notice how we haven't seen a graphic yet? Have we seen a graphic?
No, but they've basically booked the match like 2 months in advance.
But we haven't seen a graphic.
Doesn't need to have a graphic.
We haven't seen a graphic? Because
they're not all done yet.
I'm telling
you. It's not going to be it. No. You're.
Okay.
And what happens when it doesn't happen? What happens then, Kimmy?
I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, okay. Like, that does nothing for this.
Amazing angle.
There you go. Jackie will give you a $50 Starbucks gift card if your prediction comes through. There you go.
Let's go. I got Starbucks on the line. Tony Khan, I know you're watching this show. Come along with me for the ride.
You know what? And if I win, you have to agree with everything I say for one whole show. Deal?
Oh my God.
For one whole show, you cannot not agree. You have to agree with everything I say for one entire show.
I think I might die. Whew. Deal.
Fine. You guys heard it here first. We're going to clip this. We're going to record that. Anyways.
I think I might die. But I think it's really interesting that he gets to verse MJF. Like, this is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we said it when they announced Takeshka signed that, like, push him to the moon. They see so much in him. And this is really showing that. So even though he might cost me my dignity and pride next Friday night, go Takeshka.
That's going to be a hype match. I can't wait for that. I can't wait. It's going to be cool. I'm loving this whole thing with Takeshka and him getting these opportunities because I think he's got the crowd behind him. He's got a very great in-ring performance every time he's in the ring. He's great.
Now he just has to get sponsored by Cinnabon.
Yeah. And he faced Brian Cage this week too. Forgot to mention that.
He did.
That match happened. Yeah.
We could just skip past it. It happened. Yeah, he won.
And we can talk about Darby Allin and Smojo, which was the main event for the TNT Championship, but it was a no-hold-barred match for the TNT Championship. And you can say that it was no-holds-barred. You can tell Darby just doing the most Darbiest thing ever in the entire world and coming out with a, oh God, a thumbtack sweater.
Jacket.
What? Like, who comes up with this stuff? It's like, Joe, I got an idea. I got this jacket here. Now what if, now hear me out. What if I get some glue and I glue this box of 100 thumbtacks to it? And then when I get in the ring, I charge at you. Sound cool? Great. Break. Like,
1, 2, 3.
But fantastic match regardless. It was very, very entertaining. It was also entertaining to watch Darby struggle to take the ring apron off and to get down to, like, I swear to God, you can't tell me that they rehearsed that spot, because that's like clearly shows you there's no rehearsal for trying to take. If I'm Darby and I know I'm going to do that spot in the match, I hopefully this was planned out, because it had to do with the end of the match. If I'm Darby, I'm going with the ring crew. I'm talking to anyone about, okay, what's the fastest way for me to do this without looking like I'm screwing up on TV? Because that took way too long to do. I mean, it's fine. Shit happens. But like, just like, oh man, he's really struggle busting out there. And then he does a muscle buster from the top rope onto the wooded paneling. That's, if there's any way to make, like, and Darby got beaten the hell out, like, through this entire match. He got thrown onto the steel, or the steps in the crowd when they were wrestling in the crowd. He did a tope suicida through the ropes and into a table. He got beaten the fuck out. And he this is Darby's, like, MO, right? He, every time he's in the match, he's the human test dummy. Yeah, he's a test dummy. You know those test dummy they use to test car crashes? The dummies are like, that's Darby Allin. That's Darby Allin to a T.
Oh, boy.
But for Samoa Joe, that's what I was getting at, to do a muscle buster from the top rope, and that's how he wins the match. That's like, okay, very believable and a very good job to dethrone Darby. And Joe is now back to being the undisputed king of television. But the story here now, what's that?
Two-time,
that's right. He's a two-time double TV champion, which is incredible. And then Wardlow comes out. Wardlow is back from injury. And enough time hasn't gone by to fix that spot in his head, which is unfortunate. And he looks extremely weird with short hair, I imagine.
Do you know what he looks like?
Who?
He looks like Karrion Kross. He looked exactly like Karrion Kross.
Hey, maybe that's the look he's going for. Otherwise. He's going for the Karrion Kross look. It's just an unfortunate thing, Kimmy, that it's the time. Maybe he thought that with the healing from those injuries, time would be enough to grow his hair a little bit longer back. But hair grows back. It'll come back eventually. But he's back, and it looks like he's going to be feuding with Joe going into, looks like, Revolution. I imagine that's your Revolution match, is Joe versus Wardlow for the TNT Championship. Now this is where it gets interesting. This is where it gets really interesting. And I was listening to Joe's podcast today with Renee, which makes me think even more that I, for some reason, think Joe's going to be Ring of Honor bound and is going to be part of the Ring of Honor roster. So I think he drops the TNT belt to Wardlow at the pay-per-view.
Well, that's interesting.
The way Joe was talking about his future and, you know, his takes about being on TV and being on AEW, I'm just like, this man sounds exactly like if he went to go Ring of Honor, he would not care. It's not a thing in his mind where he's at a point in his career where, oh, I need to be on AEW TV or I'm out of here. I'm going back to the Fed. No, he's not at that point in his career anymore. He's long past that, especially the way his body is nowadays. That's my take on it, at least. I think he's going to drop the TNT belt, go to Ring of Honor, and be part of that Ring of Honor roster. That's a good way to have someone to draw for, right? You want people to buy Ring of Honor Club and to watch Ring of Honor TV. What better way than have Samoa Joe as your television champion to start your TV tapings? So, yeah, and full circle, there you go, Ascended. Comes full circle for him, right? And maybe ends his career with Ring of Honor. So,
I think it's interesting because I think I said this on Honor POV that I don't know what Joe's plans are, but I could definitely see a scenario where he just goes to Ring of Honor because he's at, like, he is older. He's not getting any younger, right? He's had a 20 plus year career. Like, he's been at this for a really long time, and he's been able to go to all of these top companies. And the reason, and you know, he talked about on the Renee show, like the Renee podcast, like, to what he knew, he got released because the upper management was fighting because they weren't going to clear him. But people didn't want him to go to AEW because they knew once they let Joe go, he was going to get cleared and he was going to go to AEW and he was going to be able to do what he wanted. And he was going to be a really big draw for them, as you see now. But I think it's interesting that Joe won, because I think going into it, I think we all kind of agreed, you know, Darby's going to win. We all knew Wardlow was coming back, but we didn't think that Joe was actually going to win the championship. So I thought that's kind of interesting. But I think the question is, who does he wrestle now at Supercard of Honor?
Good question. Could be maybe. I mean, I'd love to think that he has to wrestle at Supercard of Honor.
He's on the poster.
Yeah. So, card
subject. Run back, Juice Robinson.
Card subject to change. That would be cool. I wouldn't mind that, or maybe a Blake Christian, or somebody that Tony Khan maybe has signed that we don't know about yet. Who knows?
I got it.
Who?
Daniel Garcia.
Stop it. Kota Ibushi.
Why? Yo, he's going to be there. He was announced for GCW. He's going to be in California.
So, I mean, is that where it is? Supercard of Honor, is that in California?
It is, but the reason I'm not going is because WrestleCon Session 2 is taking place the same time, and I unfortunately can't be in two places at once unless someone has a cloning machine and wants to clone me. Yeah. DM me if you have one of those.
A one-off match, Kota and Samoa Joe at the pay-per-view. There's your buy rates. You're getting people to buy that pay-per-view left, right, and center, or buy Honor Club. It's very interesting main event. Very, very interesting. Beat the hell out of each other. And really cool. If you guys haven't seen an interview, it was released today. Renee Paquette's podcast with Samoa Joe. Really, really good interview. I suggest going back and watching it. But Dynamite was very interesting this week. We had a couple announcements too. You see the thumbnail we have because of that Elite and Cassidy, Hardy, and Ethan Page promo. Which
I did not agree to this being the thumbnail, by the way.
It popped me, Phil, so much that we were dry heaving laughing, and we're like, we have to have this as a thumbnail. I made it. And we went with it, but that's led to the Elite wrestling on Rampage tonight, Kimmy. Which is huge because they're never on Rampage. The Elite versus Ethan Page, Isaiah Cassidy, and Matt Hardy. You got Swerve Strickland versus Brian Pillman Jr. tonight. Roosh versus Christopher Daniels, which is a great matchup there. Can't wait to see that. And then Saraya and Tony Storm will be in tag team action tonight as well. So a pretty good episode of Rampage in the docket for tonight, which I can't wait to watch. I'm definitely going to be watching that. A lot of my favorites are on there tonight, so definitely got to be watching. I'm a big fan of now Swerve. I've turned Phil. During Dynamite, Phil has joined the Swerve Strickland and the Mogul Affiliates bandwagon. So, Kimmy, you're next. We're going to convert you, and you're going to become a fan. You say, hey, Phil said no at first. It's all right. I'll take it. Eventually, you'll be on our train.
That's like you telling me I'm going to turn to a Will Ospreay fan.
I'm still working on that. One day. But,
I'll send you pictures when I see him in California. I'll be like, look, there he is.
Fair enough. But a little bit of a smaller episode today, guys, but that's going to wrap it up. Talked about Dynamite, covered Rampage, any bit of news. But thank you guys all for tuning in live here. We are live every single Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube and Twitch, twitch.tv/ElitePOV and youtube.com/ElitePOV. Thank you, too, if you're listening back on audio, whether it's on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're getting your podcast, ladies and gentlemen, you can search up the Elite POV and get the Elite POV podcast and all other podcasts available on the network on there. You can support the podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/ElitePOV. Different tiers there for you to support the brand and different perks for each one as well. ShopElitePOV.com is where you can get your merchandise and support the brand as well. A lot of cool merchandise on there with some more on the way. And speaking of shows coming to Elite POV, we also have the iHeart WC podcast being recorded up next, which is next Monday, and it's going to feature Kylie Fuller, our girl Kylie from Fightful Overbook and Tag Talk. Myself and Jackie will be talking to her on the podcast. It'll be available on patreon.com first on Monday, and then later on audio podcast and YouTube by next Saturday, I believe. So that is on the docket coming up for Elite POV. Again, like I said, to Nerdy Elite, myself and Kimmy are going to be reviewing the show You. If you haven't watched You on YouTube yet, I don't know what you are waiting for, because it is one of the greatest shows of all time ever put on Netflix. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Catch up. There's 3 seasons right now. Season 4 around the corner. We are going to be talking about that episode by episode here on Elite POV's brand, and specifically on Nerdy Elite. But Kimmy, if you got anything to say, the last to plug at the end of the show here, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
So I'm not going to go through the 15 million things I do, but the one thing I will say is this weekend, I don't want to take 10
minutes.
That's
okay.
Like,
no.
Really bad.
Do what you got to do.
But okay. But this weekend is Baltimore Slugfest and another show that is coming to the Elite POV brand. I'm still working on a name, but I think I'm really going to go with Kimmy Takes the Road. I'm going to take you guys with me behind the scenes of the convention scene. And it's a fun weekend. We're leaving tomorrow morning at 9:30, and we're just going to, you know, we have virtual signings. We have the convention itself. I'm doing a live podcast at some point during the day. So I'm just, I'm everywhere and anywhere at the same time and working. So literally everywhere, anywhere. So if you are going to Baltimore Celeb Fest, come say hi. You'll get to be in my vlog. Yay. But the other thing I will say is, if you've seen my Twitter going crazy about interviews, the one thing I do get to do is called Talking Goddess. It's for Goddess of War Wrestling. That's the show I'm actually making my commentary debut on. That's the reason I've done 8 podcasts this week. So please go to that YouTube channel and watch any of the interviews I've done. I've worked really hard on them, and it means a lot to me if you guys check it out. Because like I said, I've worked really hard. I'm stressing over here, people. 8 podcast week. Not simple. Nope. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And just follow my Twitter for like everything. I literally post every single thing I do, every clip from every podcast, every article, all pictures of me and wrestlers, everything. And also, RIP to Lenny Poppo.
That's right. Totally forgot about that. I apologize
R.I.P.
for that. Yes, RIP to the how do you say his last name again? Paul
Poffo.
I'm illiterate. Paul Poffo. Okay, to the Poffo family, who everyone doesn't know, is the brother of Macho Man Randy Savage. Unfortunately, passed away yesterday, so thoughts and prayers with their family. But that's going to wrap it for the two-person team this week on Elite POV Podcast. So thank you so much for everybody watching, and you've just tuned in to another episode of Elite POV. And remember, you don't need a hat to be a cowboy.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, that's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.